food for thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's food for thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You are listening to 107.7 WTPL FM, and you can also stream us live on the web at WTPLFM.com. And we have a packed show today, as usual. I'm very excited for the guests that we have coming up. We will be talking with Una Williams, the chef extraordinaire for Gluten Free. I'm very excited to talk with her, as well as we're going to have a live call from Donna down in Delaware.
Is this Donna's Delight lady that I've heard so much about, your vacation buddy?
It is. Okay. Donna's Delights. I can't wait till you meet her, Mike. Mm-hmm. And then the second, well, that's the second hour, and then also Chef Patrick Hall. And then we'll also be hearing from Chef Jason Seavey. He's a chef at Havenwood Heritage Heights, and tonight is the big Iron Chef event.
You're going to be there for that, right?
I am. I'm going to be a judge tonight, so I'm very excited about this.
So this is kind of an Iron Chef thing, like we see on TV. They are given a mystery ingredient, and then they have to create something that's amazing. Now, is it one course, two courses, three courses? Do you know? Or
I believe it's just one. It's a one course with a wine pairing.
Oh, okay.
And it is three chefs. They're in the Concord area, and they all are chefs at senior living, assisted living places. And it's going to be taking place at Good Life Programs and Activities, which is in Concord, right off of North State Street,
sure.
254 North State Street. Mm-hmm. And it starts at 5:30 to 7:30, so it's a nice short evening. It's, you know, you're not
public,
out late.
Public
is
invited.
Welcome. Public is invited.
A couple bucks to get in, probably, to help out the organization.
All the proceeds go to Good Life. And, yes, the tickets are $25 per person. And all the money goes towards them. And when you get there at 5:30, from 5:30 to 6:30, the three chefs will have stations set up that you can taste, sample their foods. So you'll be able to taste food and also drink some wine. And then at 6:30, the program starts. They have a half hour to prepare their food. And they have already been given the ingredient.
It's
chocolate.
See, I do a similar event. It's called Fire and Fusion for the Nashua Senior Center, and that's coming up in May. This will be the third year. It's been hugely popular. They had to move it to a larger venue. But we kind of put it along the lines of Chopped,
which is a show.
You get four mystery ingredients, and then you have a half hour, and it's just to do one main dish. We don't make them do, you know, an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. But they don't know what it's going to be coming in. Because there's four things,
right.
So that really complicates it. So I kind of like that way of doing it, because
I like that too.
You really see how well people can think on their feet. And the meals have been amazing over the past couple of years. But I'll speak more about that
as it comes closer.
But yours starts at 6:30 tonight?
5:30. 5:30 to 7:30. Nice short, quick evening. Get on over to Good Life Programs and Activities right in Concord. You can also look them up on the web at goodlifenh.com. And get tickets, or what you can do is you can call them and you can just reserve a ticket, and they'll have it for you at the door.
Some other well-known folks will be judging as well on the panel with you. Tim Sink, who is president of the Greater Concord Chamber of Commerce. Chef Nicole, everybody knows the lady in the pink coat, Chef Nicole. And Helen Riba, the producer of The Chef's Plate on WBIN-TV. And
yes.
Who did I forget? Jeremy Woodward, owner of Jeremy's Boot Camp. I don't know him, but
I met him, and really lively. Yeah, he runs a boot camp.
So he does.
I kind of stayed away from him.
I
was a little nervous.
But you know what? With your new recent working with Rocco, you are getting closer to probably being able to work with him. Boot camps are tough, though.
Okay. I did take out my Wii. Do you know what a Wii? Do you have a Wii? Wii Fit?
I do. I use it more for playing golf games, or I don't do the Wii Fit thing.
I have my Wii Fit, and I've had it for a while. And, just like really working out with Rocco and joining Integrity, it takes me a little while to get, because I do work out 3 to 4 days a week at Integrity. But then the other days, I'm not really doing too much. I mean, I have my Fitbit, so I try to get my steps in. But now I've slowly been incorporating my Wii, which I really love my Wii. I mean, this morning I did some yoga and So, you know, you just feel better.
Yeah, you really do. Good. It's a good way to start the day. You like to work out in the morning, right?
I do. Tomorrow, 6 a.m., I'll be at Integrity.
I want to mention that Food for Thought is brought to you by several sponsors, including Express Jewelry Center, South Main Street in Concord, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions with Rocco. We just spoke about that. And Celeste Oliva, 75 South Main Street in Concord, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars. I had a good salad today at right here, the Midtown Cafe, which is in the Beacon Building, and it was a really good balsamic dressing that I had on my salad.
There you go. Yeah.
So I do appreciate a good balsamic.
Yes, I do too. Mm-hmm. I definitely do too. You know, last night I put together a salad, and the recipe was, this was really good, nice and light. It was champagne vinegar, stone ground mustard, and olive oil with a little whisk, and that was it. It was and the olive oil, of course, I used Celeste Oliva's, and they have all different flavors, and I used the garlic-infused one. And oh my gosh, it was nice and light, and very good.
Don't you get spoiled though by making your own salad dressing?
You know what? Honestly, Mike, that is the very first time I did it.
Really?
It is the first time I did it, and it was so easy.
It is easy. Do you use an immersion blender or anything like that?
You know what? I just used a whisk.
Just whisk it
I
up.
I put it in a bowl. It was just for the two of us. It was a small recipe, and I whipped it, whisked it together, and it was nice and easy with the greens, and it was delicious with some cherry tomatoes.
You know, once you do that, you just don't want to buy the bottled stuff. There's a couple that are okay that I like. There's a couple Paul Newman's that are actually pretty good, and you like the fact that the money is going toward, you know, his charitable foundations.
Exactly.
But most other ones, man, I just can't do it. It's like the canned soup. You get spoiled on having it done, you know, right
in
home.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and now
I don't know how people can buy canned soup.
No, I know we kind of beat that one up a little bit.
We talk about that.
But so that's good. So you'll be on to making other types of salad dressings, I'm sure.
I definitely will, because it was easy and it was delicious. And you know, when I knew it was healthy, it was light. It was good. It was good.
There's also actually a pretty good Caesar salad, Marie's. I think it comes in kind of a wide bottle, and it's in the refrigerated section. I have to tell you, there's another one that I have no trouble. It's pretty good.
But you know what, Mike? It has a lot of calories in it.
Oh, I know.
And that's why I don't get that. I look at the calories. I'm sure it's delicious, but
it is, because typically, you know, a Caesar salad, you do slather it on a little bit more than probably what you did last night.
Yes.
And then the low-cal stuff just doesn't always do it for me.
You're right.
So it's finding the balance.
It's finding the balance, but you know, and it's also control. You know, having being able to stop yourself and really listening to your body when you're full. I think really when you eat slower, that helps you. And you know, unlike my sister who eats extremely fast, like she eats so fast that she doesn't her full button doesn't go on.
Yes.
You know, I eat nice and slow. When I'm full, I'm full. I stop. Well, I mean, I try to, you know.
Right.
We all mess up. But
it's funny that you would talk about that, because in grade school, you would have, you know, a fairly limited time. And I was always the last kid done eating. And I didn't like that. So I just started making myself eat faster. And now I probably eat faster than I should.
Okay.
So I'm trying to slow down. And the way to do that is actually, you know, have somebody at the table to talk to.
Yeah. Well, that's right, because eating should be an experience and a memory and all that. You know who used to eat so slow? But he enjoyed eating so much. My son, Jesse, he loved to eat. Like, it was just he'd be eating breakfast, and he'd be asking, what are we having for lunch? He'd eat lunch,
really?
And what are we going to have for dinner? Or when am I going to have my snack? And he ate very slow. He went to Perkins School for the Blind, and they talked about that all the time. He was the last one always. Him and his best friend, Daniel, were always the last one at the table eating their lunch.
Like, is that right?
Very slow.
And
he enjoyed it.
You're right. That's how it should be. It's intended to be.
Yeah.
So I need to slow down instead of swallow. I should be chewing the food, shouldn't I?
That's right.
That
instead
helps
of just
too.
Whooping it down. You know, one thing you mentioned, and I just want to go back to it because it's kind of interesting. When you mentioned Paul Newman,
yes,
salad dressings. Mm-hmm. Do you know that Paul Newman? He's been in the diner before.
Oh, he was.
Yes, he was in the diner before he passed away.
Yep.
And you know who he was best friends with?
Tell me.
The original owner, David Lamontagne's son.
No way.
Yes.
Was he up visiting him or something?
Yeah, they were together. Her son lives in Connecticut, and they came up for, he's very into politics.
Yes.
And He brought him to the Red Arrow, and then I am like lost for what his name is. Oh my goodness! And I talk to him a lot. I'm at a loss for what Mr. Mm-hmm. Lamontagne's son's name is, but he had some business to do, and Paul was gonna just go around and look at Manchester and stuff. They had eaten breakfast, and then he had some stuff to do, and they were gonna meet up later. And he loved it so much, he came back to the diner for lunch.
Oh, that's awesome!
So it was very cool.
So I'm wondering what age or what time period that was, because I imagine. He was up shooting on Golden Pond. Was he in that? No, he was not. I'm sorry. That was Henry Fonda.
Oh, right.
But, I mean, it seems like he shot something up here.
Maybe. I don't know. I know he was up there. He was up here with Lamontagne, Mr. Lamontagne's
son. Imagine,
though,
Paul Newman walking down Elm Street. You would do a double take or if you wore a disguise or sunglasses.
No. He came right in the diner. As a matter of fact, it's Ray Lamontagne is his name. He was his best friends with Ray. And, there's a picture of him right on the wall at the diner. You can see it. He's sitting at booth number one. And big blue eyes and really nice man.
So. Any other recent celebrities coming in that you can think of?
Well, I told you Charlie Moore was in Londonderry the other night.
The Mad Fisherman. Right.
You know, lately I haven't heard anybody lately, which is kind of strange. I don't know. No, I haven't really quite heard anybody lately.
Hmm. Well, you're the only game in town, when everybody goes home.
This is true.
Red Arrow is still here for you.
And they all party. Oh, my God. I hear that all the time. They all say, oh, yeah, I was in your diner at midnight. And I'm like, I know. I heard all about it. today's food holiday. It's your food holiday. It is National Sourdough Bread Day.
Yes.
All right.
And then we're going to talk about gluten-free dining after celebrating.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh.
I wonder what the corresponding formula is for sourdough bread in a... in a gluten-free world, such a thing.
Una is going to know.
We have the New England expert on gluten-free dining and cooking and baking, and she has some personal reasons for having begun that part of her culinary career, and we'll get it from here very shortly. So what do you say we take a break, because Una has just delivered some food, which means that it's time for a commercial break. We'll ask her what this is, and we'll begin dining in, and we will evaluate it and talk to the woman, the myth, the superstar of gluten-free cooking, Una Williams, joining us next. This is Food for Thought, WTPL 107.7, The Pulse. Be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7, The Pulse.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Food for Thought on The Pulse, 107.7 WTPL with Carol Lawrence and Mike Morin. And the show is brought to you in part by Belmont Hall and Restaurant on Grove Street in Manchester. Top quality food made fresh for over 50 years. And Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the green room. I mean, there's nicer furniture in the green room than I have at my house. And you can find it all at Fallon Furniture. Food for Thought and Kale and Company also. Kenny is in here a couple days a week, and we're still wondering if Peter St. James is ever going to actually break the barrier and travel south of Concord and actually come here and do his, his show. We don't know.
He says he is. I have some keys made up for him.
So oh, you do?
I do. So we'll have to. I got to get the keys to him. Mm-hmm. But he says he wants to come and. Come and broadcast from down here. Such a beautiful studio.
You know, I would love to do a segment with him on cooking wild game.
Oh, he loves it.
I would guess that he does that because
of course
I know he's,
he does.
He's
Mr. We had him on.
Mr. Outdoorsman. And you can actually make food from the wild taste palatable for the average taste. And
palatable. It's far better. I mean, wild game, yes,
exactly.
Cook it so easily, and it's far healthier for you. I'm sorry.
Well, I think that, who is this woman anyway? What I've noticed about Una Williams is that she doesn't have an opinion about anything. So let's say good afternoon to our guest, Gluten-Free Cooking with Una Williams, who has been in our area for a long time. And you got into the gluten-free world of cooking for very personal reasons. Otherwise, you may not have been where you are today with this, right?
Yeah. I mean, my son was diagnosed about 5 years ago, and they said at that time gluten and lactose intolerant with an endoscopy with no prior stomach problems. And doctors think it's a stomach problem, celiac disease. He never had that to start with. Turns out it's actually celiac disease because there's a whole load of reasons for it. But, yeah, it's celiac disease. So, of course, my 6'4" baby, as you can totally appreciate, I had to start making everything gluten-free. And I keep saying real food is naturally gluten-free. It's only really the baking you have to change, or, you know, check the stock is safe and stuff like that. So I normally say my 6'4" baby would soon tell me if my gluten-free wasn't as good as the original wheat, and my husband's far politer. You know. Yeah. So, yes, I was doing gluten-free because of him, but then I was giving all these talks on it, and then when I was talking in Atlanta, Georgia last year at a conference, you know, you go out with your girlfriends and you'd steal something from their plate because they only said I was gluten intolerant. You know, perhaps the blood test wasn't accurate, but perhaps. But like most of us, I felt so much better when I went gluten free. And last year when I admitted at the conference I was cheating on bits, they said, oh, well, if it's celiac disease, you're harming yourself by cheating. Now, I tell people that in all the conferences I go to. But duh, did I think of it for me, because they said the blood test was negative for the ordinary gluten. Came back, had my physical, did the genetic test for celiac disease. Yes, it's definitely there. Now, 40% of the country have the genetic markers for celiac disease. Doesn't mean you're going to get them. But they said, yeah, with your sensitivity, very definitely you have the celiac disease because you've got the markers. My symptoms were arthritis and period pains.
Wow.
Which, you know, we women take the period pains for granted. And infertility and miscarriages, you think, yeah, it's luck of the draw. And then as you get older, you think, you know, a chef, typing or anything like that, yeah, arthritis, you expect it. Mine went away when I went 100% gluten-free. And as I say, doctors tell you it's just stomach. But I think my son had asthma. Well, I know he had asthma from the age of 2.5. I think that was celiac disease. Heart problems, diabetes. I have 5 friends now with diabetes. It's inflammation. It's things throughout your body. There's 300 disorders tied in with gluten.
Inflammation.
And doctors don't realize this. I mean, I normally speak at the Boston Celiac Conference. And the doctors last year from Beth Israel, Harvard, and Mass General were admitting they need to teach the doctors better at Harvard Medical School that stomach is the least of it. They had us do a touch phone survey saying most of us self-diagnosed that we had a problem with gluten, and some went through and had the medical tests. But that's pretty scaring. And they're saying that 80% of the people with celiac disease have not yet been diagnosed in America. And it's 1 year to be diagnosed in Europe, and now they're saying 11 years in America.
Wow.
Very, very bad.
Well, this is a disorder that I don't think I even heard of till 5 or 10 years ago.
It's true.
Yet I'm sure it's been around since the beginning of time, but we were looking at it or calling it something else.
We were calling it failure to thrive or wasting disease. That's what you'd have grown up hearing people say in the back of your mind, and you didn't pay attention. It was just someone probably weak and wobbly at school. And that's what it was. It started being diagnosed with a doctor in Holland after the Second World War. He found his patients that were without bread, wheat, beer during the Second World War suddenly were healthy. And then after the war, and believe me, the Dutch like their bread and beer, I live there. It all came roaring back again. And that's where it started being recognized.
So for someone out there that is not gluten-free, what exactly, like for someone that doesn't understand, what exactly is gluten? Like, what is it?
Gluten is a protein that's found in wheat, rye, and barley. Wheat, rye, and barley, sorry. Wheat is the common one. Obviously, rye is not hidden in everything. Barley is hidden in the sugar for so many cereals and chocolates and everything. Unfortunately, the FDA, in their wisdom, only put wheat down as an allergen. They don't put gluten down as an allergen. Oh. And the labeling they did August 2013, which came into effect August 2014, I think has not helped at all. It's allowed companies to hide even more, which is criminal. Trying to phone up and get an answer from them as to whether there's wheat or gluten in anything, you know, it is crazy. And it's even in medications, you can't get straight answers, which is even worse.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right, so you have a really good understanding of the physiological aspect of celiac disease and gluten-free. It seems like the human body isn't intended to be ingesting grain. Is that kind of what it boils down to?
Well, that's what an awful lot of people say. Mm-hmm. I think two things from my point of view is it's accepted that the wheat nowadays is modern wheat that our bodies are not so used to. It's been so hybridized and bred, it's too tough for us. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, we grew up, wheat was in our loaves of bread and our apple pie, and that was it. Wheat is now in your toothpaste, your hairspray, your lipstick.
Oh,
I've even bought jam that has wheat in it. You look, wheat is in absolutely everything out there, so we're getting overloaded by it. you know, that is the problem. It's an excess of anything. And as I say, barley is now used as a sweetener in so many things. And again, we know full well we're all eating far more sweet things than we did years ago.
Right.
I mean, our diets are definitely not healthy nowadays. I know I said to yourselves that, yeah, I know I'm not slim, but the numbers have no problems with my numbers. And unfortunately, celiac disease, I say, oh, it's a weight loss diet, which is Hollywood hype telling you it's weight loss diet and it's a healthy diet. Neither of those are true. Certainly for me, it was not a weight loss diet. Some people, it definitely is. You know, for me, it certainly wasn't.
So when your son was diagnosed with this, mm-hmm. then is that when you started experimenting and started, you know, making gluten-free recipes? And
making gluten-free baked goods, yes, because I've always cooked real food. So, you know, for making your chicken pie or whatever, I just have to make a gluten-free crust. But the inside, the chicken, the onions, the carrots and all the rest are natural. Rice is normal. You'd have to buy a gluten-free pasta. Yeah, we never did the canned soups either, you know. And it's the same as dressings. You were saying about the Marie's dressing, which is refrigerated, so that's a lot safer and fresher than the bottled stuff. And you and I were both saying we don't like thick dressings. I thin them down with fat-free milk.
That is a great idea.
And you get the flavor because you and I both order dressing on the side. We don't like gloppy dressings.
Exactly.
And it really works that well.
And like you said, drizzle it on makes
yes.
it lighter.
Yeah. Know? But you start looking at stuff out there. I mean, even before gluten-free, I was always pushing real food. Not going over the top, but will you just make real food? And when you look at the stuff out there, Pop-Tarts, I'm sorry, Pop-Tarts are what we use the leftover pie crust for growing up with a spread of jam.
It's true.
You know, none of this stuff. And you start reading the ingredient list that's 4 inches long, and can you pronounce anything that's in it?
I've had my share of Pop-Tarts.
What is it doing to the kids' bodies? And their bodies are more vulnerable than ours. That's what's scary. So, yes, I go out nationwide and talk on gluten-free, but I also talk, I was in Atkinson Library last week and down in Westford, Mass, talking on power of food, saying your best medicine or worst poison, and talking trans fats and GMOs and FDA labeling and how much sugar is too much sugar, because, yes, Cook's Corner, people have known me for years, and they know I tell the truth, and I will say it very bluntly, and they like someone that can tell them the truth with food. But that's who I'm talking to, not just people with celiac disease or other food allergies, but generally on food. I mean, the discussions we have, and you see the light bulbs going off in people's faces and saying, yeah, you need to be having real food, and this is how you can do good food easily and within a budget. Because gluten-free, if you buy the stuff, is ridiculously expensive. And too much of it's disgusting.
And I was just going to say, it's not good.
No,
not good.
Now, I know Carol's being very good because she's dieting, but tell us.
Well, and you know, listeners, for those of you just tuning in, we are talking with Una Williams. She is a chef extraordinaire on gluten-free cooking and very well known. You can check her out on the web at royaltemptations.com. And I did. I just took a bite of this chocolate torte. Did you call it a torte?
Chocolate fudge cake.
It's not even funny how good it is. I mean, it is so rich and decadent and whew, it's really good.
And you notice I did cut it into smaller slices.
You did, but I mean, when she brought in the plates, you know, we were looking at it for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden I looked at Mike's plate, and he only had one piece, but I had two.
You're the boss. You get all the stuff.
I'm not the boss.
Well, I think I gave him one big, and I cut yours in half because I knew you were good.
I looked and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
It is outstanding.
It is outstanding.
So, I mean, I just learned how to bake really good bread a couple years ago, and I'm thinking – you know, I live with somebody who has type 1 diabetes,
yes.
and the usual association of other inflammatory disorders and annoyances. And I'm just wondering how much of it may be related that she's dealing with.
Because I
need to learn how to cook gluten-free. How long did it take you to get really good at it? You're trained, so your learning curve was probably faster than mine would be.
Yeah. And that's what bugs me about too many people out there saying they can do gluten-free.
Yeah.
They don't have the knowledge behind them to make it good. And then you'll get the celebrity chefs who say all about it, and they still make appalling mistakes. I get so many emails from people, you need to be on this television show, you need to be on that television
show.
Well,
you do.
But trying to get through to them is ridiculous. Yeah. You know, they're quite stupid about it, unless you're some big nationwide name. But ordinary food is easy. It's the baking that's difficult. And I would say definitely for your partner with diabetes, I have five friends that when they've heard me speak on power of food and gluten and going gluten-free, when they go gluten-free, their numbers are better. I have a friend with Parkinson's disease, very bad Parkinson's disease, before sometime in the fall, I said to him, where my reaction is arthritis, I said, will you try going gluten-free and see if it makes a difference? Christmas party, he said to me, when I'm gluten-free, I feel better. Then in February, he and his parents at another meeting said to me, he's totally gluten-free now, and he's told other people with Parkinson's to go gluten-free. I told someone I know with multiple sclerosis, will you try doing it? You know, I mean, doctors, they are now accepting it is an inflammation and that arthritis is one of the things, but unfortunately not enough doctors, ordinary doctors, you can't expect them to know the ins and outs of it. Right. And even specialists, unless they live a food allergy diet, they really don't know. I say I'm not a doctor or nutritionist, but I know food. So that they'll tell you, oh, you're whatever the allergy is, you can't eat this, that, and the other. You're deficient in A through Z. Eat this other stuff. But they can't tell you what brands in the store are good to buy and taste good and are affordable, where to go and buy them, or how to cook from scratch. I mean, I've been working with local restaurants to help them expand their gluten-free menu and tell them and teach them what you have to do in the back of a kitchen, because it's not just knowing how to cook. It's only as good as the current training chef, waiter, etc. And also doing cooking classes, and not just for people with gluten-free and allergies, but all their friends.
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't, if you gave them that cake without telling them it was gluten-free, they would have no idea,
no
would
way.
They?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No way.
It's even better than a regular
cake,
see, I think.
Yes. You're really good. So the average bear is not going to be able to, without a lot of practice, do what you just did.
No. That chocolate cake is gluten-free flour, my own blend. It has some almond meal in it because I like that for taste, texture, and the good fats. Yes, it has melted butter, but I do it for my son who's dairy intolerant with melted earth balance. Ordinary Hershey's cocoa, egg, baking powder, some vanilla extract, and then something called xanthan gum, which holds it together. Beat it, 2 minutes, throw it in the oven. It's done. Same with that almond cake. That was my son's favorite recipe growing up.
It's so fluffy.
Yeah. And that was made fresh this morning, so that's why it's so incredibly tender. It would have firmed up a bit if it had sat.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, again, the butter, the eggs, pure almond flour, almond extract, baking powder, no xanthan gum, because and xanthan gum takes the place of gluten to hold stuff together.
Oh, okay.
But I use far less than most of the packet mixes have. Most of them put far too much xanthan gum in, which makes it chewy and gluey. But again, beaten, both in the oven for about half an hour. I mean, my cookbook, I try and do really down-to-earth basic recipes because I know people haven't got the time.
So basically, people can get your book cookbook.
Yes.
Or go to royaltemptations.com, and you have all kinds of recipes on there as well, and follow Una's recipes and
practice.
Probably would be pretty successful, I would think.
I mean, I've written for the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness with a column for over 4 years, and my cookbook is actually an ebook for $20 with over 200 pages, full color throughout. They wanted to charge me $50 to print it. Because it was so many
per
full
book?
Color per book to print.
Stop. Is this the book you brought?
No, this is
that's
a montage
book.
Just of some of the recipes. You can see the quality of the photos.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I didn't like packet mixed wheat flour cakes where you still had to put oil and eggs in. Why would I do that in gluten-free days? And with training, I know what I can throw in. I mean, I just posted on Facebook today, shrimp and crab bisque for Good Friday.
Mm.
And there's a whole load of ingredients, but I said, yeah, but it's a dump soup. You know, the dump cake idea? It's a dump soup. You throw the stuff in, and that's it. And then I say, what you do to be dairy-free? I mean, I'm not killing myself in the kitchen any more than the rest of you. And that's the thing. Nobody has the time and energy to do it.
So it's just it's having the knowledge.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
so that's why I do the cooking classes, because people don't know how to cook any longer. And I know from being involved with culinary arts in the high schools that you know, I'm sorry, when I look at what home economics, family and consumer sciences teaches from the state, you think, you're not teaching them how, you're teaching to the food pyramid. You're not teaching them how to go home and how to cook. My son grew up learning how to cook from the age of 8.
Wow.
His 8th birthday present was 2 omelet pans that Julia Child likes.
Oh, I love that.
And he's a business major, but he's the one that does Thanksgiving. I think Thanksgiving, he deep fried a turkey, smoked a brisket, and I gave up after a dozen vegetables that he said he cooked.
Oh, my goodness.
And he knew better than to go into culinary with the hard work.
Wow.
You know, he's the one that does Super Bowl because he can cook. And I say, thank God he can with celiac disease.
That's
and we'd
right.
all be healthier with real food.
Yeah. You're very driven, Una. And is it because of the change in your career, the course in thinking in celiacs? Were you always as passionate about everything, or are you extra intense now? Because
I was
you really
always,
are.
I was very passionate about real food anyway.
Right.
But when I see the problems that gluten is giving to people's bodies, and when I see people that have just heard me speak, and as I say, the friends with diabetes and Parkinson's, when they come back to me and say, wow, we feel so much better. And all I do is suggest they do that, which doctors don't like. They want them to prove it to
you. Well, you know, I'm thinking of trying it, even though I'm such a huge bread guy. Yeah, I first of all, I need to get some baking basics down,
yeah.
Like the types of flour that, you use.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I need to get that going so I can at least feel
exactly.
like I'm still baking
yeah.
and not getting rid of my hobby.
Because you already have the baking down. You
yes.
just got to incorporate right. the right flour.
I mean, I made hamburger buns this week. And the great thing with yeast dough is they don't do a second rise. You make it, you form it, you leave it to rise,
great,
and you bake it.
Bread is such a project,
yeah,
as you know.
Yeah. I really miss my good, chewy bread.
Yeah.
That is very difficult.
So you'll never
achieve.
Cheat and find a good
no,
piece of bread?
No, it's 3 to 6 months to heal from one level of contamination.
Oh, it is. So we should take a break here and
yes.
be back with Una Williams.
We're going to come back with Una, and we are going to talk to her about the 10 ways Chef Una can help you. So, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And we are in studio with Chef Una Williams. And we're going to talk about the 10 ways that Chef Una can help you. You know, I'm just fascinated by all this gluten-free. I mean, the stuff that she brought us is just, I mean, Mike's plate's totally empty right now.
Obviously didn't like it.
I'm coming back for yours, Carol, if you're not going to finish it.
I am not going to. So
she's being good.
I am being good. I mean, oh my gosh, it's really, really good. So, you know, I like number 5 on here the best, and we are going to call you. You know, we get together with the girls. There's like 6 of us that get together a couple times a year. We usually go away or, you know, and then in between that we'll go out. But, you know, I mean, we go out. We go to the bars. I mean,
yeah.
Going out with the girls and doing something like this would be
what
so...
What is number 5? You've got my curiosity here.
I know. Number 5 is enjoy a girls' night out or a couples' night even
mm-hmm.
In a cooking class or a dinner party with Una.
Yeah.
And she'll come to your house and show you how
yes.
to cook.
Yeah. And it's normally a 4-course meal. And most of the time I'm doing the work and they're lifting their elbows.
Now,
yeah.
So you would come like to my kitchen?
Yes.
But
yeah.
what if I don't have like a fancy kitchen?
Doesn't
matter.
As long as I have a working stove, preferably gas,
yeah.
and a countertop about half the size of this, I know what I'm doing. Believe me, when I was at college in England, we used to go into some places. They'd employ the college students to do it, and our professors would go with us. You should have seen some of the things we had to do, you know. Yeah, so I can basically cook anywhere. I just like to know I have a working gas stove because I don't do personal chef people. That I gave that up many years ago because it's exhausting. You know, the body doesn't like it any longer. But, yes, a chocolate cake like that, that shrimp and crab bisque that I mentioned
Ooh.
As a starter, which is naturally gluten-free. You know, I mean...
So how does this work? You come to somebody's house, we book a date with you.
Yes.
And you give us a little menu of things that you think would be... that would interest us, or do you come with a pre-prepared soup to nuts type of deal?
A mixture of both. I
okay.
normally sort of say to you, I mean, some years ago I gave a gift certificate for a wedding present, and they wanted this sort of thing done for the bride and groom with,
great gift.
With Irish background, but they don't eat meat. You know, they don't eat beef or salmon and all this sort of stuff, which is very classic Ireland. My parents were
yeah.
both born there, so I grew up with all this.
Mm-hmm.
So I did what I call Irish chicken rolls because my aunt in Ireland on a Sunday, you'd have the roast chicken for dinner with stuffing. You know, that was classic. I mean, most of us had that sort of thing for dinner everywhere, didn't we?
Sure.
Even
mm-hmm.
in America. So I do the chicken breast, and I do a bacon and onion and herb stuffing with it.
Oh.
And then I do the stock in a sauce. And for those that don't know, in Ireland, parents are very good, or mothers are very good, at pushing the sons to take the pledge not to drink. So you only had the bit of alcohol that was put in the tea for, you know, if you were feeling very rough or anything. You know, my cousin stopped that very much once they got to a reasonable age. They weren't giving up their Guinness at that time. But, you know, the little bit of sherry in with the stock and finish it with cream, because, of course, the cream on the farm would be the real good stuff, not, you know, what we get over here any longer. And just do that. And, you know, the fresh carrots from the field were fabulous. So that would be the main course. And I would do Irish soda bread to go with it.
Oh.
and you know, all these other things. So I normally say, you know, what do you like and don't like? Mm-hmm. And if you look on my site, as you say, Royal Temptations, the list of menus of what you can choose from.
It's huge.
It's huge. And the recipes are there. The recipes that are there are the original wheat recipes, but a lot of them, that changing them to gluten-free is the easiest thing possible to do. Mm. You know, I mean, you just go gluten-free stock for some of them and a gluten-free sure. thickener. But, I do all sorts of things. I was in Dallas in September giving a talk to a celiac disease group in the morning, and then I did a cooking class in the afternoon that had to be gluten-free, dairy-free, and egg-free.
Ooh.
Yes, and it was Asian.
That's what does a that challenge. Leave?
Yeah. Well, I did the hummus. Which you okay. just had, the cashew Delicious. Nut hummus, because I absolutely love that. Then I did Asian spring rolls, you know, the rice flour tortillas,
yes.
and, okay. and did those. And I do an orange ginger dipping sauce with it, and we had a whole load of fresh vegetables in it. Then the main course was what I call Shanghai beef, but we did it with buffalo because they wanted buffalo for, I can't even remember, for whatever reason they wanted buffalo rather than turkey or beef.
It was on special that week.
Yeah. Well, in fact, beef in Texas is quite expensive. You would have thought it'd be cheap, but no, it's not. But that was the beef with onions and red peppers and baby corn and soy sauce and some barbecue sauce, all mixed together, served with Asian noodles. So that was one of the courses. I can't remember what the other one was. And then I made something called panna cotta, which is the refrigerated custard, which is normally done dairy, as you know, and they obviously know because they're going,
Yes.
But I did it with coconut cream, and I keep saying not Coco Lopez piña colada, coconut cream, you know, and I tell them, you know, in the recipes, I tell you the exact brand I bought, so they know exactly. The one I like is one called Arroy D, ARROY-D. Yeah. They do a coconut milk and a coconut cream, and the cream is really thick and wonderful. So, you know, and that I will use happily. I did last week a fake Alfredo using the coconut cream, but I put the Parmesan in as well. But, you know, the coconut cream, the fat content's half of what heavy cream is.
Exactly.
And so. There's no cholesterol, and it's dairy-free. So look at it that way, what you're getting. So, I mean, you wouldn't have thought that meal was gluten-free, yeah. dairy-free, and egg-free.
You hear the music back
yeah.
there. They're telling us
I
to get
believe how fast.
Off the stage. I know. Well,
I could just continue to talk and talk.
Sure. Well, you'll get your chance next hour. Yes. Una Williams, the official name of the business is Royal Temptations, right?
Yes, it's just you can find me on yeah. Facebook at Gluten Free Cooking with Una. And as I say, I do the dinner cup party classes.
I can't wait to
lunch
book
and
you.
Learns. And, you know, and it's roughly $75 per person. You split the price at a restaurant, split the price when
exactly.
I come in.
Exactly. For sure. All right. You listen to Food for Thought. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.